Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Ever podcasted on before. Hope you're doing well. Paul and I are out in the podcast world getting our, I don't know what you would call it, our remote satellite access down. I am in Boston, and Paul, where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles, California, as we speak.
Oh, how is it out
there? Sitting
in
your office, Tom. I gotta say, there's a lot of
treat.
A lot of stuff that's supposed to get signed. I'm just kind of taking care of all that, and
oh my god, how's Bella?
She's good, I think. No, I got home late last night to my place, and I leave for the great state of Montana tomorrow.
Holy cow, we are all over the place, people. Go to TomPapa.com and look up your tour dates. I am going to Springfield tomorrow, Friday, and then on Halifax on Saturday. We're going to San Francisco. We're going all over the place. So go to TomPapa.com. Look up all of your cool things. Thank you to all of our subscribers on Patreon.com. Thank you for supporting the podcast. It means a lot, and it's helping us to figure out all of our satellite transmissions and things like that. Also, listen to Live From Here, the great radio show, Prairie, formerly known as Prairie Home Companion. It'll be a new one this Saturday from New York. The great Mike Yard will be the comedian, and I will, of course, have my Out in America correspondence on there. This week, my Live From Here Out in America piece comes from my trip over the weekend when I was in Estes National Park, or more accurately, the Stanley Hotel.
Ooh.
Where The Shining where Stephen King found the inspiration, I should say.
Where he thought of it. The that Shining. Counts more than like where they filmed the movie. To be in a, be in a place
sure.
that Stephen King got freaked out in is pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly. He said that he was there. It was the last night of the Stanley Hotel before they closed for the winter. And he was all creeped out and then had a dream that his son was being chased by something down the hallway. And he woke up and had out of a nightmare and a cold sweat. Smoked a cigarette, looked out over the grounds, and by the time his cigarette was done, he had the whole idea for The Shining.
Yeah, I go back and forth Woo. With the, what do you think is cooler, coming up with things that make people laugh, and you do that for a living, or the stuff that scares the crap out of you, you create, and it scares everybody else to death, and you get rich over it.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the jokes are probably more fun. I mean, to live, you know, he writes those books, and maybe if it's like therapeutic, but if you have to live in that darkness, you know what I mean? Like you can, I forget who, what's the actress's name that was in The Shining? I guess for her, it was a
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, she was never the same. Like, it was a complete nightmare even to make the movie for her. So to live in that creepy world all the time, I would rather be a comedian, definitely.
Yeah, comedian's more fun. I don't think it's as cool, though. I think it's fun, and it's cool. But if you're the guy came up with The Shining, That's cool.
Yeah.
You might be a, you might be a, you might not have a great life, but you're cooler. Anybody who is really cool doesn't have the greatest life.
You got that, you got that mystique to you.
Yeah. You know, you get, I know a lot of people who are talented who have really nice lives and they're cool. And then you hear like, then there's like the Sid Vicious and the Jimi Hendrix and, you know, all the really cool ones. They're all dead, but they were cool.
Well, I mean, you're...
Hey, what do you think of...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say your buddy Rob Zombie is not only the rock star thing, but also the horror film director. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's cool. I think that... Yeah, he kind of breaks the mold, but Rob does that with everything. What do you think about your big, your cool comedian friend Bill Cosby?
Is he my friend? I don't remember if we went to school together.
I don't know. I remember hearing stories of the two of you going out drinking and stuff, and you were never clear what happened the night before. You just felt kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a crazy,
guilty,
crazy thing. Well, I mean, that's the whole, everyone knew he was guilty, I think. If you don't know, it's,
well,
you're, you know now.
Well, he was actually convicted today.
Yeah. And he had some crazy stories about him. I guess he was pretty belligerent in the courtroom as well.
I heard he... Didn't he call the judge an asshole?
Yeah, the guy said about how he was a flight risk because he's got a private jet. And Cosby called, like, the district attorney, like, a name and said, I don't have a private jet or something. It was just very, like, kind of showed he was being a little disrespectful to the court, obviously, and then apparently he was like kind of, he was laughing during one of the ladies' like testimonies, and yeah, it seems like a real evil guy.
Yeah, geez, Bill Cosby, what a weird. I mean, you know, we've been living with it for a while, but you still can't get away from what. How weird the story is, you know. It's just, he was like the cool, he was the dad, he was Fat Albert, he was the clean comedian, he was
yeah, the fall is the, you know, once you know, to be up at that point and then to fall so low, that's what is kind of like,
well, also, you know, also it's, you know, people fall for different reasons, but that you were actually, like, you know, assaulting women and saying that you are, like, you know, one of the clean, good guys.
Yeah.
That's always the problem.
Well, it's like,
I think you really got, you can't be like a total good guy. Like, you really have to do a couple things to let people know that you're not perfect. So we have to come up with some things we have to do.
Yeah.
People tend to think we're good guys. So I think we've got to, I don't know. I see you maybe doing some shoplifting.
No, I don't. I kind of talk about that a little in the act, just about like you have to get angry at inanimate objects is a good thing. Like if you get mad driving or mad at like a certain kind of food, or, you know, as long as it's not other people, it's okay to, like, just
beat up a Coke machine.
Yeah, exactly. The stupid
right
laundromat. Yeah, as long as you do really dumb things to, like, inanimate objects, you know. But it can't be, like, people or animals.
I'd like... I'm going to... You know, I've been on the road so much lately, and I get tired of leaving. And... There are just certain trips you don't want to do. So I'm going to take care of mine during one of those trips that I don't want to do. And I'm going to do my... The thing I'm going to make news about and have people realize I'm just as creepy as other people. I am going to get busted at security at the airport for drugs.
That'll get some publicity. Publicity for the book. That'll be perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to get some drugs and get caught at TSA, and then have them get it, and then I'll make a stink when I'm getting arrested, and then everyone will be, oh, he's you seem like a nice guy, but maybe not so much. And then I'll tell everybody that they were planted on me by somebody.
Or run on the field during a Yankee game.
The only thing that... What's
run on the field during a Yankee game? Just do some, like, random stupid thing?
Ooh, I like that. But nobody really knows it's you anymore.
Yeah, because they cut away if it's, like, a naked person or...
Unless... you get really good seats at the Yankee game. They maybe with someone even probably need a little more juice. Somebody sit with someone a little more famous. Have them show you on the Jumbotron. After they show you on the Jumbotron is when you run across the field.
Yeah. You got it all planned out.
ESPN would have to pick that one up.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that.
I like it's got to be at a sporting event or like something that being a crazy person isn't like out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
You don't want to like blow up your fingers during 4th of July or drunk driving or any of those kind of things.
No.
Like the Bill Murray crimes, you know? Wasn't he like drunk driving a golf cart or something? Like he does all the cool stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we should just copy someone like that.
Like be high on a Segway driving through through New York City.
Drunk on a boat. Nobody considers you really that bad a person if you're drunk on a boat.
As long as you're not driving the boat. Maybe if you just have like a little a little like paddle boat. I think anything with an engine, it's frowned upon.
Yeah. So Cosby, it's so weird. So you think he'll do jail time? If you're the judge, now you've got to go to the sentencing. What do you give him?
I don't know. That's what they're saying. Is it was a big surprise that he got convicted. Like everyone thought, just because he's so famous and he has a lot of money. I think the fame thing has dropped a little bit, but I think even the fact that you have so much money and so many lawyers and there's so many loopholes that usually those guys find a way to, like, you know, skip through it. But, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
I guess the evidence was just so overwhelming. And also he was admitting to a lot of it. And he was saying, but it was consensual, and, you know, hey, that was the 70s, man. We just got, we took Quaaludes and had sex. Everyone was into it.
Well, that's what happens in your 80s. Everyone's just completely honest. There's no, you know what I mean? He's just like, oh, I'm just going to tell the truth. What does it matter?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, that's what I did, and he was laughing and stuff. So creepy. But, you know, the overwhelming evidence for me, like when you always figure, well, there's got to be some people who are, you know, maybe you can't trust or whatever. And it's just that if you have every one of these people that had an interaction with him felt horrible after.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like none of them, even if he said, here's some drugs and take, like, they didn't know what they were getting into. They all came away and had this horrible feeling for a long period of time that it was just something very bad went down.
And also, like, I mean, I guess I think of him as a super famous guy, but I didn't realize, like, what an industry he was, like, the production company and basically, like, running NBC in the 80s. And so there was, like, real fear there of saying anything bad about him. Like there's a surprising amount of stories now of just him being a horrible person, which, you know, you expect a few people, But I mean, I would even, you know, if I ever had an interaction with him, that's the thing that I would remember is like, he seemed like a normal guy, but everyone seems to have this thing of like, oh no, he was like a creep to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember, I think Ron Bennington did like an interview with him, and he just came in and he basically like would tell you what questions he would answer, and you know, basically everyone had to be like, you know, thankful that he was there giving his time. And it was just a very strange dynamic anytime he was talking to anybody. I think Letterman was the only guy that he like seemed to be, you know, Letterman would put him on the show and then he would just do those weird 10-minute sets. Remember, he'd just sit on a chair until the band played him off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so weird.
But you did like him, though, huh?
I did like him as a comedian, you know, and I, you know, Jerry really loved him, and I saw, like, I liked him as a kid. I loved Fat Albert, and then I liked his stand-up always made me laugh. He was a very funny guy, and then I, you know, then when I was in high school was when his TV show was on, and that was a great show.
Right.
And, yeah, I liked everything about him, and then, you know, the night before my daughter was born, we were saw him at Carnegie Hall, and we just laughed so hard that my wife's water broke that night, like 2 weeks earlier than it should have. And that was such a cool story, and now it's like,
yeah, that's weird. I saw him once, too. I saw him pretty late, I would say, I don't know, like 2005 or 2006, maybe. Or no, it must have been later than that. Mm-hmm. Like five or six years ago, I saw him in Reno. And, you know, just kind of really, really, like, soaking it all in. Like, talking very slow and not really doing a whole lot. And you were almost kind of like, I kind of lost it. And then he just did the dentist bit for the last 15 minutes. And that destroyed. And that was worth it just to see him do that, but it was a weird show up to that point, which I think is always strange, that like when someone has to do something from 50 years ago to make the show good.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, there's another weird chapter in American culture. It's just a, you know, another, like, there's nothing lasts. There's no like good guy. I mean, there are, but there's, you know, Lance Armstrong, big liar face. Tiger Woods, total creep face. All these great guys. O.J. Simpson, really bad guy.
Yeah, that one. It's always worse when they present themselves as like a great person, because I mean, Lance Armstrong, I don't put in that category. It's basically like, you know, he kind of just,
yeah,
everybody else was doing the same stuff, so it was like, and I mean, when he was getting cancer treatment, he was getting 100 times more medicines and things like that, and he's probably like, I made it through this, I can,
yeah, but he was beloved, and he was, because of the cancer thing, he really seemed like you know, a super good guy.
Right.
He was helping all of these people.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely lied. I just don't put it at the level of, like, drugging and raping women to ride a bicycle through France really fast, I think, is...
Well, no, it's not as bad, but the fall was still... He lied to us all, and it was a really good guy who we ended up realizing wasn't.
Well, yeah, it's all these guys that like get super famous, and then you're surrounded by these people who think that you're, you know, I don't know how many documentaries I've seen in the last month that like it's a guy who kind of runs a yoga place or a religious thing, or, and then they get wrapped up into these people worshiping them. Like, have you seen the thing about that McAfee guy? The one who, he created that McAfee virus, remember, like, for computers, like, years ago?
Right.
Yeah, he's, like...
I don't know.
Yeah, he fled to... he fled to, he said he lost all this money in that the stock market crash, which was a lie, and then he fled to Belize and like basically just built like a compound with an army and had like, you know, he was like teaching yoga and had all these like kind of groupies hanging there, and then he ended up like murdering his neighbor and was on the run. Like, it's a crazy story, but it's just all these, you know, guy with more money than he knows what to do with, and people that kind of worship whatever he does, and then so whatever he says is almost like religious to them, you know. And Cosby was definitely that way. Like, Cosby definitely thought everything he said was the most important thing that anyone would hear, you know.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And he was you know, preaching to everybody. He was telling young black men that they shouldn't be wearing their pants a certain way. And once they start preaching, and you're right, like once they start believing their own rants, you end up in trouble. You just don't tell people how to live. And I don't know. They're all just psychopaths.
Yeah, it's like every religious guy.
I told you I was performing in Lake Tahoe, and I was at this, I forget, the Harrah's there, like this nice theater, and they were showing me the dressing room, and it's a legendary place where Sinatra played and all these people, and they said that they used to have a big thing of Cosby because he played there more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to take it all down. They just had a tiny little picture of Cosby. And the woman who was, the older woman who was taking me around and showing me everything and leading me to my dressing room said, you know, so we only have this little picture of him. It's so sad. And she said, but the things I saw in this dressing room were not good.
Oh, wow.
They were not good. Yeah. So it was, I was like, ooh.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a, well, somebody just posted a story. They went to see him in Vegas. They saw Sammy Davis Jr. open, like, I don't know, it was some Vegas show, and Sammy Davis Jr. did like an hour, and then Cosby was like the headliner, and everyone thought he was going to do an hour as well, but he did like 18 minutes and then just left. So I don't know if that was like an ego thing or what, but yeah, nobody tells those stories when they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird that all the stories come out after everyone finds out they're a creep. Like, you should have been saying this stuff the whole time.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's toast now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Halifax. You ever been to Nova Scotia?
I haven't. No. That'll be cool. You rode your motorcycle there, right?
Yeah, I did once. And this time I won't be going up to the Cabot Trail where I rode my bike around. I'll just be flying into Halifax doing a show for the Halifax Comedy Festival. And then I'll buzz back and go to L.A.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when are you coming back? Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be back Sunday as well. And then I think we're here for, well, are you going away again? I'm here until we go to San Francisco, I think.
Oh, no. I'm all over the place. I'm still working on my top secret project. That's why I'm in Boston right now.
Oh, I see. So
Boston was beautiful, and then it was cold, and then it was beautiful. It's a little spasmodic right now.
They pick,
hanging out here in Boston.
They picked the worst
eating lobsters.
They picked the worst. They picked the worst food to try to make their name with,
like lobster tails.
No, beans,
lobster rolls,
Boston beans, baked
Boston baked beans.
Baked beans.
Dude,
they even tried to make a candy out of it.
Boston back. Boston beans, dude.
Disgusting.
What about the lobsters? Have you ever had a lobster tail?
No, isn't clam chowder? And, well, is the place going crazy? Where are you at? Because the Celtics are playing right now. I'm sure the whole town is shut down.
No, I didn't even know they were playing. I was out eating and Nobody knew. They're all going crazy because of the Bruins.
Oh, right.
Dude, the hockey team, the Boston Bruins, they're crushing it.
Cam Neely.
Oh, one of our listeners was a little upset with us.
Uh-oh.
Because he said that he didn't like the way we were talking about professional wrestling.
In what way?
He thought that we were being mean to professional wrestling fans. And that we were assuming that they were all dingbats.
Well, I think that's what you said. I said they're the smartest fans in the world. And you just got on your high horse, looked down on everything. No, it's funny. I have a buddy that I grew up with. He runs like one of those little, like circuits. You know, like in upstate New York, there's like a wrestling circuit, and they just play these VFW halls and stuff. And I was trying to think of a character, like if you could be a manager, you know, like Lou Albano or Bobby the Brain Heenan, like what would your character be if you could be like one of those manager guys? Because I'd love to do that. Would be hilarious just to do that for like a couple matches. You could be The Rock's manager and just come up with some weird thing. You could dress up like you did for Boom and just have those glasses and shave your head like a bomb.
I don't want to be a manager. I want to be a wrestler.
You want to get in there? No way.
Yeah, I want to get in there. Be like the comedian who comes in, kind of like Andy Kaufman.
No, I want to have a big, huge guy, and then when he pulls the guy over to the corner, I throw salt in his eyes out of my fanny pack.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like Mr. Fuji. Wait, what would your wrestling thing be? Oh, yeah, you were Super Beasto, right?
Yeah, it was El Super Beasto. I played a professional wrestler, so I don't think I think our friend was wrong. We weren't taking the stuffing out of the whole thing. What I was saying was that, I am not a fan of it. But that doesn't mean that I don't. I'm not jealous of the people who like it and have any. It's like college basketball, professional wrestling, video games, all that stuff. I want to be able to like it. I have no time. I don't understand it. I'm just not a part of it. But I am jealous of how much fun people have.
Yeah, yeah, it is like an event, you know. It's just like, you know, one of those Manchester United games. Like, you would go to the game even though we have no idea who's in first place or anything. We just know it's like a big thing that people love. So
right. Yeah. And they are all idiots.
Except for, did you see
No, I was working with a kid who was working on the production of my top secret project out here in the in Bread World, and one of the young PAs loves wrestling, and I learned tonight that he loves it. He tries to work with the WWE, like as a production assistant kind of a guy, and tries desperately to be a part of it and stuff. I'm not sure what else he does, but I do know he loves wrestling so much that he has a wrestling ring on his front lawn. He showed me pictures. It was the full-on ring.
That seems like a trail. You know how, like, when a horrible crime happens and they're like, hey, he was your neighbor. Did anything seem like off? Then you're like, yeah, he had a wrestling ring in his front yard. We should have known.
No, he was totally normal. He was normal. Except for the wrestling thing. Yeah, yeah, that was weird. He had a ring in his front yard. How about the Golden State Killer has been caught?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I didn't see the full... was there like a press conference and stuff? I know that was what Patton Oswalt's late wife, that was her big project, was researching and finding all that stuff.
Yeah, she actually gave him the name the Golden State Killer.
Oh, okay.
She had She had researched it and was doing a lot of work on it. I saw a thing that the police weren't really giving her credit for it.
Oh, really?
They said that there was definitely more interest from the public because of it, but that they were doing their own police work and stuff like that. I guess they just... But they caught the guy. Man, this guy was really horrible. I don't really follow the... another activity that I don't really partake in is that people love is following serial killers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she... the crimes were so awful.
Yeah, I didn't... Awful. I haven't followed up the whole... yeah, that is one thing that we don't talk about. Maybe we should talk about murders more. I just feel like we should keep it more upbeat. But...
yeah, I don't think our vibe is in the murders.
I lived in the same building as the Hillside Strangler in Los Feliz.
Oh yeah, I guess he strangled.
That was one of the big you know, it's like it was hip. People actually asked for his apartment. That was like more expensive.
But, oh God!
But my thing was like, you know, when they tried not to give me the full security deposit back, I was like, I bet the Hillside Strangler didn't get his back either. You know, I bet you that.
I'm sure he did get it.
The bar is very low since the Strangler was here. As long as you clean up the cupboards, you're good, and there's no bloodstains.
There's never like some mystery serial good guy.
No,
it's never been like we can't figure out who keeps planting trees all around the city.
Who keeps putting the seat down in the bathroom? Just some dumb little. Well, what's the dumbest? I guess there's people that like pick up litter. There's. I'm trying to think of good deeds. Because most people are very annoying when they try to do good deeds. You know, like the people that try to hold the door open for you when they don't really have to. The people... Yeah. This happened to me, too. I kept having to get in and out of the elevator when I was at a hotel. And every time, it was some, like, Midwestern folksy, super nice guy. And he was always like, well, you go ahead. And no, just go. Go. I don't care. Right. I'm not going to the prom with you. You can go out of the door first. You're closer. It was just like an annoying niceness.
I did an annoying nice thing getting on the plane the other day where we were boarding and, you know, all merging onto the plane at the gate. And I said to some woman, after you. And she said, no, after you. And I was like, come on, after you. And I made her go, and then she went, and then I went, and then her husband went after me. So I forced her to do it and then split up her and her husband.
Yeah, split up her family.
Yeah, it was like aggressive friendliness.
Yeah, I haven't done anything. It's always bad with the people that drive, and they're waving people in. You know, when you're crossing the street, they're waving you on, all that kind of stuff. It's just...
Yeah.
I'd rather just be like, everybody be in a hurry and try to figure it out quickly instead of...
You'd rather be like, you know, like in Singapore or something. In India. Just a lot of people on mopeds just... No, there aren't really that many rules. You just kind of fly and cut each other off.
Yeah, I was just talking about that today. I may have another Asia trip later this year, and we were talking about the traffic in Vietnam, that there's stoplights, but nobody pays attention to them. So when you cross the street, you basically have to cross with like another person and just take one step at a time, and they, like, it's just steady 9 lanes of traffic just coming right at you, just mopeds and everything in it, and they do go around you. But you have to go like one step at a time. But there's no crosswalk. There's no. I have a video of it. I'll show it to you. But yeah, we had like me and my two buddies, and we did it like one step at a time. It was like a real Frogger game in real life. It was just crazy.
I think that's I couldn't live like that. Whenever I see like pictures of India,
mm-hmm.
I have a panic attack.
Yeah, too many people.
Yeah, it just seems like a little too crazy and aggressive.
You never felt like that in New York at all?
No. Once in a while, like if you're on a crowd like near in Times Square or like towards Penn Station, it would get a little intense. But not to that level, no. There, it's like it's not just a crowded sidewalk. It's people like on the streets, on the sidewalks, hanging out of buildings. I don't think I'll ever go there.
Unless Russell Peters brings you over and the president takes you around or something. You need to do it like first class.
What was the Trump thing today? He apparently went on some rant on Fox and Friends.
Oh, I didn't see it. I caught up with the thing that Kanye West was saying nice things about Trump, and that was a big deal because Kanye hadn't tweeted in like since he started his medication, and now.
Oh really? And the medication works so well that he loves everybody, including Trump now.
No, he just gets, you know, I think they kept him wrapped up, and then he goes, just one day he'll start saying like, I need to figure out how the music business works. I need to meet with this guy. And then he shows like, you know, him meeting with like the guy who runs Apple or the guy who, so I don't know if it's like a setup thing to promote stuff or if he actually uses Twitter and hopes like the people that work for these people say, hey, Kanye wants to meet with you.
Maybe you should tell him how the music business works. Hello? Paul? Paul? Paul?
Hello?
I think I've lost Paul. We might be talking at the same time right now.
Hello?
I lost you for a minute there.
Yeah, can you hear me?
It was panicky. Yes, I can.
It just disappeared. I kept it running, though.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
The listeners at home will just hear us screaming for each other.
Well, it didn't say call fail. It just said just disappeared, so.
Right. But back to Boston food, I don't think you've ever had a lobster tail. It's almost like a croissant kind of a thing filled with cream that it's an Italian pastry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I had like a lobster roll there not too long ago when we were there.
Yeah, the lobster roll is with real lobster. The lobster tail looks like a lobster tail, and it's filled with cream.
Oh, I see. What kind of cream? Why don't I want lobster in there?
Because it's a pastry.
Oh, it's a pastry. So it's like not a real lobster. It's just shaped like it.
No.
Oh. I was going to say, that's the most disgusting pastry. So it's like a bear claw, basically. It's not a real bear's claw, but it's just the shape.
It looks like a lobster tail, but it's a pastry. It almost looks like a croissant.
I was wondering, because, yeah, you're supposed to be just eating bread and desserts, right?
The wicked good.
Well, we have to, like, scope out this San Francisco thing, because there is, like, we definitely have to go to Tartine, right?
Yeah, we did Tartine is, were you with me last time when I was at Tartine?
We went, I didn't go for, like, a filming thing, but we went together when we were in San Francisco last time.
When we were performing in San Francisco.
Like, last year.
Right. Yeah. That place was really
good. But you still haven't been to Mama's. which that is like, especially for you, because it's all the eggs and just amazing. It's only open like 3 or 4 hours a day. Just ask anybody about San Francisco about it. But their specialty is the Monte Cristo sandwich, which, believe it or not, I actually eat it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the French toast with Gruyere cheese and ham and turkey baked into it, and then you dip it in jelly. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, boy. Dip it in jelly?
Yeah. Or jam, some kind of like marmalade. I don't know all the names, Tom.
Marmalade.
I'll send you a picture, and it has all the powdered sugar, and yeah, it's amazing. It's the only time I've ever eaten a Monte Cristo sandwich, and everyone tells me it is the best one in the world, so don't try anything else.
What was the place that we went to in San Francisco that was next to the hotel? Remember, they say that they're the originator of the Irish coffee. We went with your documentary friend.
Trying to think. It wasn't the Ghirardelli thing.
Bistro?
Yeah, I can't.
Corner Bistro?
Well, you go to that place all the time, right?
I love that place.
It's like right on the...
But their Irish coffee, who knows if they were the original, but man, they're good. They're small, and they're in these little glass, almost like martini. Not martini glass, but...
Like espresso?
On a stem, kind of like that. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that next time. I didn't do it last time, but I'll do it this time. But I did. I just went home to upstate New York. I went to Owego to speak to my old high school class.
How'd that go?
It was a lot of fun. It was cool. I got to talk to a lot of the kids, and they asked me questions about being a comedian and stuff like that. It was really fun. And as I'm driving home or out of there, just across the street, my friend, Tom, this is the weird tie-in that you even know about. Where a young Paul Morrissey used to take tap dancing lessons. The building is now an ice cream shop called the Ice Cream Works, and my first baseman from Little League now owns it. And he runs a very successful ice cream shop, and he developed a flavor called New York Potholes, which apparently Friendly's has ripped off in the last couple months. But
oh, no.
But he said there's no legal precedence, but everyone knows we came up with it first. So,
woofy-doo.
So that's what I told him. I said, you have the only job that might be cooler than comedian is ice cream shop owner. The fact that he just sits up at night and thinks of ice cream flavors is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. But you know, as I'm learning on my top secret food missions, I'm meeting a lot of people in bakeries and ice cream shops and stuff. It is a lot of work. You really, really have to love it, because you open up one of these shops, people are coming to get their stuff all the time, and you've got to, it's like having a dinner party every single day.
Yeah. Well, it's like doing the meet and greet without the comedy show.
Yeah, it's like ice cream's not so bad because you just have your big vats of it, and you know you don't have to prepare stuff ahead of time and stuff. But some of these places, like a pastry shop, when you've got to make the lobster tails and get all those things, you got to work hard at like 4 a.m. before people stop into your shop on their way to work.
Yeah.
Oof.
Time to make the donuts. Remember that commercial?
Time to make the donuts. Yeah, it really is that. It's a you know, I'm talking to some of these folks, and I'm like, what a great thing that you're feeding the community, and what a wonderful thing you're making people happy. And they're like, I get up at 3 o'clock every day. I am exhausted.
There's a lot of booze in that thermos.
Yeah. It is fun, but they all seem like, you know, like it, but you can't get around that it's not just that it's hard work. I don't mind hard work. Hard work is, I think we all, like we've talked about many times, I think work is what we're supposed to do. You should be working hard. Mm-hmm. But a bakery is hard physical work.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, you know what I mean, I watched those at that tartine when they're like making how many loaves, you know, like you do two a week or whatever, and they're just like cutting it up like every 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I'm so precious with my dough and taking care. They're just like cranking, throwing it all over the place, just trying to get more stuff made before these animals come into the shop.
Yeah, literally at that point, it's just like you just got to make enough for the people. They don't even worry about like it, the preciousness of it. I wonder when that goes away, you know, because like a pizza, you know, there's pizza guys that are like, oh, we're making this pizza. But then it's just like, I just got to keep making dough. I got to just got to fill these people's bellies.
Yeah, it's weird. You're feeding everybody. It's such a weird, it's a lot of work. But, you know, it is cool. Like with people that, everybody that gets into it, for the most part, they were trying something else, but they just loved baking, and they decided, no, I'm going to go do this. I'm not going to go work in an office. That's just not me. And they kind of take this leap of faith.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, and they just jump. They're like, no, I love doing this, so I'm just going to do it. And they just jump off the cliff, and now they are baking away.
Well, it's like, what would push you over if a guy just said, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about closing this up, and then somebody's like, no, you can't close this up. I gotta keep it going. Or what's the weirdest story that you've heard so far of somebody falling into it?
The weirdest story. Well, it's either that, it's either people have like some kind of, you know, IT tech job and they decide, no, I love baking to begin with and that's what I'm going to go do. But the other part of it is a lot of people are just brought into it through their family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They came in as kids and their parents did it and their grandparents did it and they just were playing with dough as little kids and hanging out in the shop. And then before you know it, they're running the place. They didn't realize that when they were just kind of learning it, that they were actually being trained.
Oh, right, right. And yeah, that's interesting. Did I tell you about the place I did the fundraiser show? It was a Greek restaurant, like kind of banquet hall place that two of my buddies, I used to play basketball against these two Greek brothers, and they opened a diner, and now they have like a banquet hall. And it's just that's the whole family business. Like both of they both look exactly like their dad now. Like they're both like really good looking guys with like slicked back hair, and now they all are bald with reading glasses. Like that's what it does to you. But it was like, but there were so many Greek guys. Like, you know, it was almost like they were still wanting to work even though the show was going on. And there were so many like Greek guys just standing over, like watching out of the kitchen. And I was like, are you guys building another Greek diner inside this Greek diner? I feel like there's...
Yeah.
But they were very...
I love those places.
Yeah, they were mad at you. They love... Here's your hook, Tom. So they love Sebastian because they feel like the Greek and Italian stuff is the same. Like a lot of the stuff that he does speaks to them.
Oh, really?
But they also feel like you're Greek and you're not copping to it. Because they're like,
oh, really?
Yeah, because they're like, Papa. I mean, the guy, he's definitely Greek. What's he hiding? They're just like.
Well, you know, the Papa name comes from Sicily, and that was Greek at one time. But the Italians really, when you say you're Sicilian, most of the time they think you're, maybe that is my hook. Maybe I'll pretend that I did that DNA testing thing and it came back Greek. And my whole next special will be, I can't believe it. I'm Greek.
It's all,
do a whole bunch of Greek jokes.
It's all Greek to me. Tom Papa's new special.
We knew you were Greek. We always knew it.
Well, I think more people would like Greeks get more excited when they see your name than like Italians do. Definitely, right? Like every Greek restaurant we've gone to, they've said something.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. The Italians don't really connect it.
Yeah, but these guys are just hopeful. They hear a couple syllables with papa on it, and they think they got you.
Well, this is a perfect time to segue into a segment in our podcast that, you know, people always say that we, as comedians, should know a lot of jokes, and we should know street jokes, and we never really do, and it's because they all stink. And but to prove it, we're going to tell you some jokes, and I will break out, in honor of this conversation, some Greek jokes.
Oh, I see.
Let's see. Greek jokes for you.
These all... I'm going to go out on a limb and say all these are going to be racist.
The top 10 reasons why you shouldn't marry a Greek male.
Uh-oh.
Two words. His mother. Housework and birthing his children isn't your life ambition.
Oh, boy.
You hate his mother's cooking, and that's all he'll eat.
Yikes.
Your nostrils can't take the amount of cologne he splashes on. Oh, boy. I apologize. I'm offending my Greek friends already. let's see. Let's try something else.
There's a lot of bad wordplay and pun jokes, too, these street jokes. What game did the Greek gods play? Hydra and Go Seek.
Whew. It's not our fault, guys.
What are Greek houses made out of? Concrete. Get it? Crete? These really aren't jokes.
No, they're not. Why? No wonder they like Sebastian. Funny Greek jokes here. A Greek and an Italian were arguing over who had the superior culture. The Greek says, "We have the Parthenon." Arching his eyebrows, the Italian replies, "We have the Colosseum." The Greek retorts, "We Greeks gave birth to advanced mathematics." The Italian, nodding in agreement, says, "But we built the Roman Empire." And so on, until the Greek comes up with what he thinks will end the discussion. With a flourish of finality, he says, "We invented sex." The Italian replies, "That is true, but it was the Italians who introduced it to women." Get it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, There's no, once you say like a ethnicity and, oh, I got some jokes about Italians, it's never going to be good. It's always going to be racist.
Yeah. Here's one.
Fun-loving racist jokes.
A house inhabited by a Greek on the ground level, an Italian on the first floor, and a German on the second. Caught fire. Who survived? The German. He was out practicing marching. Oof.
Jeez.
That is terrible.
Yeah, that's not...
But like we said, folks, this isn't our fault. This is what, as a comedian, we have to deal with.
Well, that's why we're out here creating new jokes, so that we can get rid of all these horrible things that pass for jokes on the internet and at office parties.
Right. That's true.
What are you going to say in Canada? You're crossing the border, right? You realize that. You got your passport and everything. You got your loonies.
Here's a Mediterranean joke for you that covers all of these people.
Uh-oh.
I just ate so much Mediterranean food, and now I falafel. Feel awful. Falafel.
It's funny on the page, I bet.
Oh, boy. All right, Paul. Well, it was good talking to you. I'll be back there on the West Coast shortly.
Yeah, have fun in Canada.
Thanks, man. It'll be a treat.
I'm sure it'll be summertime up there.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's going to be... I didn't even bring a jacket this time. I refused to bring a coat. I'm like, that's it. I don't care. It's spring, and you guys have to get it together. And now I'm freezing. All right, man.
All right, man. Have fun.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your life.